Welcome to Religious Retells, a satirical retelling of your favorite Bible stories. Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Religious Retells. Happy Sunday, a day that God set aside for his people to worship him. I'm sure when he originally thought up this idea, he didn't mean for a bunch of people to drag their ass out of bed on Sunday, congregate into a stuffy room that gets dusted once a month, and tone-deafly sing the most depressing psalms. But sometimes you can't control what you set in motion, right? In Christianity, Sunday is also referred to as the Sabbath, which translates to a day of rest, the world's first stat holiday, a real privilege given to us by God. Jesus actually reiterates that this is a gift to us when he says, quote, "The Bible was made for man and not man for the Sabbath," unquote. End quote, unquote, I don't know. I wish I tried to use this argument when being forced to go to church on a hangover Sunday, but likely it would have only resulted in me being denied my weekly shot of Welch's. So a lose-lose, really. I don't recommend. A day created in our honor to rest and celebrate is such a nice, thoughtful gift. In reality, I think it shows that God mastered reverse psychology before it even existed. The Bible wants us to believe that he meant to give us Sunday because he loves his people and they deserve a break. When I think, God really created Sunday as a day of rest for himself, and I'll prove it through today's story. Why did he need a break? Well, thanks for asking. He was tired as fuck. From what, you might ask? The creation of everything, of course. If you remember, last week we traveled all the way back to the Old Testament, and today we are going all the way back to the beginning. Chapter 1, the first words ever written in the Bible. An origin story, if you will. Sort of like in comic books, but without all the pictures. Actually, the prophets of yonder year writing this giant book could have learned a thing or two from comics. The Bible is so long, and not like Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire long. The Bible is almost double that. It could definitely have used some pictures to help the reader along. But like any Avenger movie, a good origin story really ties it all together. And in the Bible's case, God wanted it first and up front, so that you can know just how hard he works for all of us. Last week, we learned that the Bible is structured into two parts, right? Well, to make it more convoluted, those parts are each broken down into books. Those books were given names and then separated into chapters. And each chapter is numbered with verses. It makes it easy to reference when you want to quote the Bible and you say the book name, the chapter number, and the verse number. And then the person that you're shaming with whatever Bible verse you're using can go look it up. For example, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Side note for any parent out there, if you want a quick foreshadow into whether you've got the ambitious, hardworking kid or the lazy, get by with the bare minimum one, pay attention to how they react to their first Sunday school assignment. For those of you who weren't dragged to church every Sunday of your life, Sunday school is where children go off to about halfway through a church service, usually in classrooms in the church basement. Mostly, it's so that they can learn with their Sunday school teacher about God and the Bible and learn all the stories and the associated lessons. But mostly, it's because the minister is about to start his sermon of the week, and it's long and boring and painful. A majority of adults have mastered sleeping with their eyes open during this time, whereas a child's attention span and ability to interact with that much bullshit hasn't fully evolved yet. So best for everyone to divert them to something a little more fun and lighthearted. Usually, a typical beginner level assignment from a Sunday school teacher is to tell their students to go home that week and read some of the Bible and come back having memorized a Bible verse that means something to them. Now, here's where you can identify the overachievers from those who are not. The overachieving children will return with an actual Bible verse that they went and found and memorized, and they're so proud of themselves for what they've learned. The lazy children, who you could also call efficient, maybe they'll be pumping gas someday, maybe they'll be a CEO, who knows? Those kids came back and quoted Genesis 1:1. There are certain well-known verses in the Bible that everyone just knows. and this is one of them. They're sort of like pop culture references. Houston, we have a problem. Luke, I'm your father. Welcome to the party, pal. Nancy Joe, this is Alexis Nyers calling. Genesis 1-1 is just as iconic as those moments because it's literally the Big Bang and where the creation story begins. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It starts off so strong and hopeful and wow, God really just did that. The next few lines is really foreshadowing the manic depressive roller coaster of emotions that all 1,200 pages of the Bible is about to take you on. I actually take back what I said earlier. Those kids who just quote Genesis 1-1 in Sunday school and don't bother reading the rest of the book, they will definitely be future CEOs. They had the right idea. But the story continues. The earth was without form, and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. I mean, come on, we're only on Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and we're already speaking in riddles. Just say that the earth was dark and it looked scary. Face of the deep. Sounds like a creature. It's right here where we get the first understanding that earth and humanity for God is sort of like an art project. God looks upon the darkness and the voidness and says, let there be light. And bam, there was light. Now, like any good artist knows, a one-color picture? Kind of lame. And God, looking out into the bright world that he's just created, is thinking, how the hell am I going to nap through all of this brightness? Suddenly, he's missing the void and the darkness. But wait, here's a brilliant idea. Let's do half and half. So, he divides the light from the dark, calls the light day and the dark night. And God looks upon this fun start to his art project and thinks, it is good. And then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. Nope, I did not just have a stroke. That was a direct quote from verse 6. I know, it's gibberish. What he's trying to say is that the earth is not flat, dummies. He needed to create a separation between heaven and earth so that, you know, we have our space, he has his. And basically, he created what we know as our dome-shaped planet with its little ozone layer drifting through space. At this point, Earth is just a round thing of water splashing around half day, half night. And although hydration is key, God identifies the need for dry land, snaps his fingers, and bam, we have land and sea. And God looks at it and thinks, it is good. That's right, adjectives haven't been invented yet. Good is the only positive word that we know in this first chapter of Genesis. So God is looking out at the sea and the land, and the artist in him is screaming, add some details, colors, textures, anything eye-catching. And then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Pause, hold up, religious retails coming in with a hot news flash here. Take note. God prioritized creating a herb-yielding seed grass before animals and humans. Wait, what's a herb-yielding seed grass? What do you mean? Sounds like marijuana to me. Think about it. Where else was he going to get the creativity to do what he was about to do next? God rolled up a big fatty and puffed on it while deciding what his next move should be. And that move was none other than creating twinkly lights that people stare at in the sky. That's right, everyone. You heard it here first. Very loosely confirmed in Genesis. God got stoned and created stars. And he looked at them and said, it is good. And then at this point, he got the munchies and also created Cheetos, ice cream, Oreos, french fries, grilled cheese sandwiches, you know, the good stuff. Having sobered up and licked all the Cheeto dust off of his almighty fingers, God's surveying what he's created so far. And it's feeling a little passive for him. Now, remember what we learned last week. The Old Testament God is one that enjoys a little chaos and destruction. So a still-beating earth with rushing water and twinkling lights, that's a little PG for his tastes. We need movement. We need a food chain. We need predators. And on the flip side, we need some cute things to look at. So God creates animals. The Bible specifically says, God created great whales and every living creature that moveth. Now, here's where my father, who was also a Sunday school teacher, would try to ask us a trick question. Why put in the specific detail of the whale? Why not just say, God created animals? His answer was to provide proof that the Bible is authentic and link future stories together. If you remember from last week, Jonah was eaten and then puked up by a great whale when he pissed off God. I think it's less about authenticating and more just a standard foreshadowing story outline. That the mention of the whale is God's way of foreshadowing how he will fuck you up whenever he needs to. There's some real great stories to come, guys. I'm really excited. Anyway, so God is looking around, singing the animal cracker song, enjoying watching all that he's created, frolic together, living their best animal lives. And he thinks, I bet you can guess, it is good. Seriously, the thing that he should have created next was a thesaurus, but he really missed out on that opportunity. Then God gets to a point that I think only the artistically challenged of us can understand. You know, when you're doing some arts and crafts and you think, I'm just going to add one more thing. But everyone else around you is looking at your work and thinking, don't do it. It's going to fuck it all up. You won't be able to come back from it. But you do it anyway. And alas, everyone was right. Well, then God created man. And he notes that he created man in his own image, which is probably why Old Testament God eventually sends so many plagues and earth-wiping catastrophes, because he really hates what he's seeing in the mirror. But he doesn't know that yet. So we're at the point in the artistic process where you've gone too far. You've fucked up a perfectly good creation and you think, I can still fix this. But in reality, whatever you do next is just going to make it worse. Well, then God creates woman. And not only urges them to reproduce, but gives them both power and authority over every other living thing on earth. Fast forward many thousand years later, and here we are, doing great. Thumbs up, God. Excellent idea. But back to finish off our story. God is looking over everything that he's just done and says, behold, it is very good. That's right. We've created adverbs now. So I know what you're thinking. You have two questions. Number one, where do the dinosaurs come into this story? I wholeheartedly agree with this concern. I'm not totally sure on the answer here, but like a good, useless 2020 Zoom work meeting, I'm going to have to circle back to you on that. But trust me, I will find out. Second question, how long did it take God to do all this? It seems like a lot of work, right? Well, that is exactly the point that God is trying to make when he created the Sabbath. The creation story takes place over 6 days. And on the seventh day, after God has seen all the good that he's created, he rests, just like you should after a long work week. And that's the lesson that the Bible wants its readers to take from this story, how we should treasure the Sabbath and celebrate God and all that he created for us by honoring him and resting on Sunday. I call bullshit. God just pumped out an entire universe, the ocean, land, stars, animals, humans. By day seven, he is exhausted. Of course he's going to take Sunday off. But he didn't create that day of rest for us. He created it for him. To sleep in, wake up late, pick up the leftover joint from Thursday star creating day, and have a little me time. So really, I think God created Sunday as a mental health day. And if mental health is a difficult concept to grasp in 2021, as an almighty ruler during the dawn of time, he definitely didn't want to admit he needed a little R&R. So he dumped the need for the Sabbath onto the people. So what did we actually learn from the creation story? First, it's that God needs a mental health day too. So don't feel guilty when you need one. You might not have created the universe and everything in it, but you probably sent out an email without an exclamation point in it this week. And that was hard enough. Second lesson, try hard not to take that extra step in whatever project you're doing. If it looks great, it probably is. Don't ruin it with whatever brilliant idea you've come up with. And third, and most importantly, God loves weed. So you can too. Unless you're a minor, then in that case, what the fuck are you even listening to this for anyway? Ask your parents. For the adults out there, I recommend edibles. It combines marijuana and snacks. And what's better than that, really? Well, that's our episode for this week. I hope you enjoyed it, learned something, maybe laughed a little. Please subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're using. Rate it 5 twinkly stoner stars if you can. And follow us on Instagram at Religious Retails for weekly episode updates. As always, judge not, lest ye be judged. And happy 420 week, everybody.